Praise the Lord. Any question? Come, yes, let me hear you. Give him microphone, please.
Praise the Lord. Sorry, sir, I want to understand something, sir. Speaking in tongues, is it wrong?
No, it's not wrong.
That's number one, sir.
That'll be all.
Okay, so my second question is, sir.
But be sure that you're speaking the Holy Ghost tongue.
Okay, sir.
That's what we say.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
My second question is, where you mentioned in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19.
Yes. Can we see it on the screen?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, you said that it's now wrong for us to do so. This is what you are saying, sir. I want to understand something.
What's your question?
My question is, as you said, it's wrong.
Wrong to do what?
To baptize in the name of God, the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
No, I didn't say it is wrong.
Okay.
What I said is you must understand that commandment.
All right, sir.
From that commandment, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son. So what is the emphasis of that commandment? It's the name. Correct? Answer me, sir. Am I correct?
He said, well,
the emphasis is the name.
The name.
Eh?
Yeah.
And that name is the name of the Father. Mm-hmm. Sir, you are married, you have children.
Yes, sir.
You have a father.
Yeah.
You have a father.
Yes.
To your father, who are you?
I'm the son.
Talk so that they can hear
you. I'm the son.
Eh?
I'm the son.
You are a son.
Yes, sir.
You are a son to your father.
Yes, sir.
And to your children, who are you?
I'm their father.
Their father.
Yeah.
So you are a father at the same time you are a son.
Yes, I am.
Now, what is your name?
I have my name.
What is your name?
Joseph.
Eh?
My name is.
What is the name of this father?
The name of my father.
This father I'm looking at.
Joseph.
What is the name of this son I'm looking at?
The name of the son.
You are a son now.
I'm a son.
What is the name of this son?
It's Joseph.
What is the name of this father?
Joseph.
So what is the name of the father and of the son?
Joseph.
So why are you confused?
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Hold on, please, sir. Sir. Yes.
You will have answered me. My name is Father.
Sir, excuse me, sir.
Yes.
I believe that what you said is right. And the same thing what Bible said is still right, too. If somebody... That doesn't mean that my father's name doesn't exist anymore. No. It doesn't mean that my father's name doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't mean that my son's name doesn't exist anymore. And it doesn't mean that the child name doesn't exist anymore. That's my understanding.
God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I don't know what to say again. If you didn't catch this analogy, then you will never catch it again.
There's something. See, that.
You see, sir. Name, sir, listen.
Okay.
You see, when it comes to the things of the spirit, sometimes don't make up your mind that you know.
No. I'm not making
my mind. When it comes to salvation, this Bible. Every day becomes clearer and clearer. Yeah.
So
now listen. It is you are speaking very good English. That means you've gone to school. Okay. So you must have been taught comprehension in your study of English language. Because if you didn't learn comprehension, then you will be speaking English in confusion. Now, in the that's why comprehension is a very serious topic in the study of English language. Because you may be speaking, but you should go with a comprehending mind and understanding. It says, go in the name of the Father. It simply means the Father has a name. Simple.
Sir.
Anything beyond that, sir, you can meet me privately when we talk.
All right, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll meet you privately.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord.
God bless
you. Sir, there's something that you say that I didn't get you.
Uh-huh.
When you say that if someone is saved, that person is forever saved.
Yes.
So my question, sir, is this. There's a place in the Bible when God told Moses that whosoever that sin against me, he shall blot out his name from the book of life.
Yes.
And in the case of Judas Iscariot, he was saved. He was among the disciples of Jesus Christ. But as it was in his life, we may not understand that he saw Jesus Christ. It's not that he betrayed Jesus Christ. So my question is that if somebody is saved, is there any tendency that the person will sin against God and see end up in hellfire?
But before I answer that question, how do you get saved? Before you say somebody is saved, what is the process for salvation?
For example, in my own understanding, maybe you are hearing the message, maybe through the preacher that is preaching, then you get convicted that yes, that you are a sinner. Then you surrender your life to God.
Okay, let me not go that way. So let's read one scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. So read it with comprehension.
Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all...
Can I read it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him. When? When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. That what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. When did he choose us?
From the foundation.
Eh?
From the foundation.
Does God gamble?
No.
So that knowledge is needed to understand what is that book of life referred to in Exodus. Praise God. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Let me also ask you another thing. Maybe it will make it clearer for you. Praise the Lord. Who is your father? Who is your father?
The one that born me.
Eh?
The one that born me.
Before uncle drop from heaven. Okay. Who be your papa?
My papa is Eze.
Eze?
Yes.
That's his name. Is your real father?
Yes.
How did you become his son?
He gave birth by blood. He gave birth to me. He gave birth to me.
Eh?
He gave birth to me by blood.
Is there, you are sure he gave birth to you?
Yes.
You are sure?
Yes.
You are sure?
Yes.
Is there anything you can ever do that you will cease being the son of your father?
No. But yes, but someone can do something bad. His father will disown him.
Sir, praise the Lord. Is there anything you can do that you will no longer be your father's son?
No.
Eh?
No.
Why?
Because it's your blood.
Eh?
It's your blood.
His blood is in you.
Yes.
His gene is in you. You are having the same DNA. Eh? That is what makes you his son. It's not your character that made you his son. It's because he gave birth to you. Once you are his son, he gave birth to you. Forever, you are his son. Even if he says, you are no more my son, I disown you, you are still his son. Once saved, forever you are saved.
But sir, does it mean that nobody goes to hell again?
Eh?
Does it mean that nobody will go to hell?
Praise God. Those who will go to hell, the foundation of God standard. Listen, that is why we say, make your calling and election sure. Because, now, you have your father, Eze.
Yes, sir.
Maybe your father is very kind. Maybe your father is very, you know, is a very wonderful father. And then somebody left his papa and come to your family and change his name, surname, to Eze, does that make that person your father's son?
No.
Now, praise the Lord. Now, somebody open verse 6, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. This is what Apostle Paul said. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. You know what that statement means? They are not all, it's just like saying, not all Christians are of Christ. Do you understand? Not all Christians are of Christ, because the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Your papa knows his children. Heaven is only for his children. And all his children, he said, all that the Father has given me, John chapter 6, all that the Father has given me, Jesus Christ said, they will come to me. When did he give them to him? Before the foundation of the world. They will come to him. And he said, no man can pluck them out of his hands. He said, he gives them eternal life. Praise the Lord. Make your calling and election sure. Any other question? Yes? Let me hear you.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so with all what you have said, then why are we going out to... Then why did Jesus Christ said that he came for the sinners? You understand? That was ministry.
Yes.
Then if you said that right from the foundation of the world, that God knows those who are... Then why did Christ tell us we the Christians should go out and preach? Then why is there salvation? Then why are we gathering here?
Apostle Paul answered you in 1 Corinthians. There's a way Apostle Paul put it there. Praise the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. He said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is the answer to your question. Let me tell you why. God will give everybody opportunity to be saved. So that when the judgment comes, amen, you will have no excuse. He gave Cain opportunity to do the right thing. Cain refused. The same thing he did to Cain, he's doing to people. He's telling them, this is how it should be. But he knows those who will believe, and he knows those who will not believe. But so that you will know why you are going to hell, he allowed everybody to hear the gospel. That is the wisdom. God bless you. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord. Sir, in respect to one save is saved forever. There's two personalities in the Bible that I would like you to clarify. One is Judas Iscariot, whom we believe that was saved and lost that salvation. Then the other one is the man called Demas in the Bible that Apostle Paul made reference to, that because he loved the words, he left the faith. Please, I would like you to clarify on these two personalities. Thank you, sir.
Let me start with Demas. Let's go to 1 John. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Praise the Lord. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Just one moment. There's another scripture I'm looking for. 1 John chapter 2 verse 19. It says, little children, verse 18. It is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. He said, they went out from us. Demas was among. But they were not of us. For if they have been of us, they will no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. See, they started together. But after some time, they left and went into prosperity. Because he said, Demas left, having loved this present world. To acquire material things, he left the other apostles. When he said he left them, he's not just leaving by company, he's leaving by doctrine. And went the way he went. So, that is evidence that they were not of them. Praise God. I hope that answered that. Now, the second one is Judas. You made a statement, you said Judas was saved. Now, nobody was saved. None of those disciples was saved until the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. It is only after the Holy Ghost came upon them that they became saved. That's why Jesus said, don't even preach, don't say anything. Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, for ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That power is to do three things. The power that of conversion, that will convert a sinner to a saint. The power to preach the gospel, and the power to cast out devils. That's the power you receive after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So Judas was not converted. Peter too was not converted. That's why he denied Christ. They were all the same. They were not converted. Sir, Judas is known as the son of perdition. He's not the son of God. And why did God call him? God called him to fulfill scripture. Somebody must betray him. So he looked at who will fit that ministry. And he saw somebody that because of money can sell his friend. That is suitable for this ministry. He brought him among his disciples. So he came for a ministry to destroy Jesus, to fulfill scripture, so that you and I can be saved. Praise God. Oh, somebody, Brother Dennis from Benue State, Shalom. If one happened to find out the person that baptized you in the name of Jesus is not born again, do one need to be rebaptized? You were not doing it according to that person. Can I quickly tell you, not only water baptism, under the ministry of a false prophet, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Genuine Holy Ghost. Under that false person, if you do the correct thing, you are saved. Leave him with his God. Praise the Lord. Dennis, that is the answer.
God bless you, sir. Sir, I want to know the meaning of the word restitution. Because most of the time, Deeper Life emphasizes on the word restitution. And there's a book of I read, the revelation of heaven and hell. They still talk of the word restitution. And I don't know the meaning of restitution. Thank you.
Restitution comes from two different approaches. One, When you are born again, before you were born again, the things that you did that can be corrected now that you are born again. Then the second one is, now that you are born again, the things that you do wrong and you find out that you have done it wrong, that you should correct. So there is restitution. There is restitution, but because you made reference to deeper life, and they seem to think so much about restitution. And they say, when you preach restitution, that you put away grace. Because the Bible said the things that we did in ignorance, God winked at it. All things are passed away. Because you were doing it not under the law. And you, somebody who is not under the law of Christ, that law cannot be binding on him. You cannot use Bible and solve an unbeliever's problem. The Bible is for those of the kingdom. So, when somebody, for instance, is an armed robber, he went and killed so many people and stole so many people's money, he doesn't even know who they are and things like that. Now he's born again. How will he restitute those souls that he killed? He did not do it under the law of Christ. He did it possessed by a demon. And the love of God came to save him. But now that he's born again, if he goes and steals anybody's thing, you must return it. If not, you will not be forgiven. But the things that you did as an unbeliever, if you can return them, fine. But if you cannot return them, God accepts you. That is the meaning of grace. Unmerited favor. You do nothing to merit it. Praise the Lord. Now, they go further in the area of marriage, which is what you are talking about. Amen. That doctrine is wrong. That if a man marries 2-3 wives before he becomes a Christian, now that you are a Christian, that is only the first one that you marry that is your wife. Because the Bible says for Christians, one man, one wife. In the Garden of Eden, one man, one wife. Therefore, only the first one is your wife. That doctrine is wrong under grace. Under grace. Do you know why? Because salvation. See, God did not come to scatter families like that. Restitution is to return it to the estate it was when you took it. If she is not your wife, then she must be somebody else's wife. So you say, you are to return her so that her husband will see her and pick her. Now, you married her, maybe when she was 20 years old. 25 years old. Very young. You even married her a virgin from the village. You married her at that time, everything around her was standing. She has given birth to 5 children. Everything around her now is flat. Then you say she's not your wife. I'm going to return her. If it is possible to return her to the estate you met her, then you can restitute. But because it is not possible to return her to the estate you met her, she is your wife. You cannot restitute a human being like that. What of the children? What will you do with the children? So was supposed to solve that problem. He solved that problem. He said that, he said, if you desire the office of a bishop, that is a pastor, a leader in the church, he said it's a good desire. Then he gave the condition. One of the conditions is that you must be a husband of one wife. Now, that means where he was preaching, there were people there in that church that had more than one wife. But he's telling you, you cannot be a pastor because you have more than one wife. But you can remain there with your wives and receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ said, marriage ends here. When we go over there, no marriage. So, you remain like that. That man cannot be a deacon in the church. That man cannot hold any leadership office in the church. You cannot be a pastor. Any pastor that has more than one wife, you are breaking scripture. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. Now, as a believer now, you marry with the knowledge of one man, one woman. Then, you now go and take a second wife. Now you are wrong. Immediately your pastor should tell you, before you depreciate her, send her back. She's not your wife. That is where it becomes sin. Because now you know the truth. No man of God should allow a church member to marry a second wife. Immediately break it. And if he refuses, drive him out of that church. It is sin. That person is risking his eternal destination. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Can we stand up?